time for the subcommittee of the ACIR. And we're going to be, the purpose of today's meeting, just, and Lyle, you turned over the ownership of the meeting to me. Is that the way? I think, because I noticed that I was getting notices about folks wanting to enter the meeting.
I hope so. I hope that happened.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. So this is the, just to finish that point, this is the regular subcommittee meeting of the ACIR, which we keep open each month to take up topics that are a little bit too dense for us to take on in the full ACIR meeting once a month. So we can defer to this meeting to actually get into a little bit more detail. The topic of today's meeting, I know Bruce had produced an agenda which included any legislative updates as to what's going on. Right now, the main bill that we're interested in, which is part of the governor's bill, has not been acted upon. So there's not really much news there. So beyond that, we should just maybe jump into the main topic that we wanted to discuss, which was the question of whether ACIR should consider another look at the notion of home rule here in Connecticut, and particularly in this came up in the context of our larger ACIR meetings, because it was pointed out by both Lyle and John Filczek and others that the loose way that home rule is kind of bandied about in discussions is a little bit disconcerting and probably not reflective of the reality of what home rule is all about. It's come up in particular with regard to a lot of the zoning revisions that have been proposed in legislation this year. A bill was just passed last week out of the House that would make some modest adjustments to our zoning statutes as they stand now. But I wanted to also mention that we've also identified the fact that the ACIR has taken this issue on over a couple of times over the last 30 years or so, with a couple of different studies that have been resurrected and offered up for members to take a look at, which amplify the point that Lyle has pointed out to us, we're a Dillon rule state and that no local government can do anything without state approval, to put it simply. But perhaps we do need to kind of take another look at this and remind ourselves a little bit about what the history of this is. The last thing I'll just say quickly is that I know in anticipation of this meeting, John had sent around a number of different documents that have looked at this issue, both here in Connecticut as well as throughout New England and nationally. I didn't go through them all, but the one that I did kind of grab onto was the one that was done by the Kennedy School about an analogous provision in the Massachusetts Constitution. In Massachusetts, this study, the 100-page plus study, really confirmed that the perceptions of home rule in Massachusetts were wildly inconsistent with what the reality is in terms of the constitutional and statutory framework. It got me thinking a little bit more about our approach to this. I know Lyle's been thinking about it, as has John. So I'll stop talking and maybe we could just open it up a little bit for further conversation about the scale and scope of what we might want to take on here.
Well, can I just jump in with, I guess, the only suggestion?
So, I don't know, Lyle, go ahead.
Yeah, unless John wants to go first, I don't care. John, do you want to go first? I don't care. I just have a quick comment.
Go ahead, Lyle.
Was not to boil the ocean on this issue, which is massive. You know, it's a constitutional lawyer's dream to sort of wade into this topic, you know, like a full employment for life. But to try and narrow it down a bit, simply saying, look at local control, local zoning, and state prerogative or state supervision or whatever. In other words, try to narrow it down to a slice rather than getting too broad. I think, you know, the Kennedy School paper you referred to was fabulous stuff. And again, I actually studied constitutional law in undergraduate, so I love this stuff. But I guess the only suggestion is, it may not be worth anything here, but is to try and narrow it down to a specific question around local control, zoning, and state responsibility. So that was, rather than boil the whole ocean on all of local control and all of state responsibilities and all that, which is massive. So that was my only suggestion. Yeah.
I guess I look at it as that the question, the constitutional question is fairly well answered when you look at the literature, and perhaps some updated that with the 87 study. But where I kind of saw us going with this is how it fits in with the local governments of the future and that state-local relationship. And a few of those documents that I sent over speak to how perhaps that relationship can be tweaked to foster better cooperation, regional initiatives, make progress on housing in a variety of subject areas that we've been stalled at, in part because of this notion of home rule, which is what a few of those papers speak to. So I think it's consistent with the local government of the future initiative and plugging it into there, not a dissertation or a rehash of the constitutionality of home rule and Dillon's rule. I mean, I think that's pretty much settled law when you look at it, the history of it. But how can we kind of use that relationship or make recommendations for tweaks to it to foster some solutions within Connecticut? That may be too much at 30,000 feet, but that's what I'm kind of looking at. How do we use that and sort of the case study of, I want to rehash the desegregate CT stuff and the zoning thing so much as how do we get use the take this home rule question and perhaps hold it in a positive way into our local government of the future to maybe find other solutions to how we do things in Connecticut.
I'd like to jump in real quickly to say that I see that email that John Filczak sent yesterday didn't go to anyone other than Brendan, Lyle, and me. So I just forwarded it
to
everyone else who's on this call, and I apologize for not getting it out to everyone last night.
Mm-hmm. Can I just jump back in? I think John makes a good point, which is it's broader than the one I was making, but it's narrower than relitigating the whole issue of Dillon's rule and local control. I think that's been done. I don't think we need to beat that into the ground. But there's an aspect of, you know, effective state-local relations and how it's done. And again, it's, you know, like through vision, setting out incentives, you know, long-term policy and so on. And again, Massachusetts on paper in some ways does some interesting things in terms of influencing local government in ways that we don't use in Connecticut. Just as an example, you know, their municipal functions, their state supervisory functions of municipalities and so on are quite different. So, you know, I think John's idea is fine. I was just concerned that we not relitigate Dillon's rule of local control in the whole nine yards all over again. I mean, I think that's been done. That's all, I guess, my concern is. So I'm fine with the local government of the future's framework. I think we want to look at specific aspects. The other part of this is practice. I'll give you an example. The state DOT, and this isn't a criticism, I don't know if anybody on here from DOT, is highly centralized. You know, we're a small state. There's relatively little local revenue. Many other states have a vastly decentralized DOT where it's not even decentralized, it's decentralized to the MPO level. So when I used to have a real job in the Midwest, I was buying right-of-way for freeways for the state. That was delegated by letter. So a whole raft of stuff was kicked out of the state level down to MPO or county level, just in terms of getting stuff done. Whereas I come here and, you know, a traffic signal on town might actually go through the head office. So it's a very different system. Now, that is not really constitutional or statutorily driven. It's a practice. In other words, we do many things by practice that are not constitutionally driven or statutorily driven, but they're just a practice that we've had for a long time. And I think that may be something else to add to the mix. I don't know, John, you're going to say something more.
One or two, at least two of those documents that people will see actually speak to expanding the power of municipalities to foster collaborative solutions, which is an interesting discussion in terms of the state-local relationship. And that, I guess, when we speak of local government of the future, that's what I guess some of the roads I envision going down, that how they complement what we tried to lay the groundwork on this session to build for. So that's sort of the base that I'm coming from here.
And again, just not to blab too much here, but that would require articulating what a desirable state-local relationship is in terms of collaboration and joint problem solving and so forth. In other words, that puts a big onus on us to paint the picture of what that local government of the future relationship would be. But all I was adding to your thought is that some of these things are practiced, not statutory. So, for example, the way community development block grants are handled in Connecticut by Department of Housing is idiosyncratic to Connecticut. Nobody else does it that way. And it's not statutory, it's just a practice. But I agree with you, but that puts the onus on us to paint the picture, John, of what is that desirable state-local relationship.
Yeah, I mean, we know we have a range of issues to deal with, from education to housing and healthcare, et cetera. And, the status quo is not working on most of those. So are there other ways to do things? I absolutely believe there are. It's a question of, sort of foster that discussion and come up with some ideas for the legislature and others to perhaps pay.
And to make it manageable, maybe you pick 3 to 5 areas rather than the whole ocean to boil again. But you pick housing or other key areas that would be examples of that new state local relationship.
Well, you take the housing area, you can rewrite the zoning statutes. You can also perhaps look at collaborative housing authorities, regional housing authorities, et cetera, with greater authorities. And, there's a range of things, but the laws don't necessarily match those solutions.
Interesting.
Yeah, so if I'm hearing you guys correctly, I think what I thought was an impetus for this was that I think there was concern raised by members of ACIR generally that the term home rule had been misused by folks, depending upon, on a number of issues, but particularly with regard to the zoning questions that have been raised in this legislative session, that both advocates and opponents of the legislation had a tendency to throw out the term home rule haphazardly without really understanding what they're talking about. So I thought that the impetus of this initially was to help clarify first what home rule really means in the context of us being a Dillon rule state and all that. And I agree. I don't think we necessarily need to, go into a treatise on the constitutional history of Dillon's of a Dillon's rule state, but
as much fun as
I do think we need to help. Yeah, right. That we may need to clarify this in an effort to make sure that people know what they're talking about when they lean on the phrase home rule to support their argument, whatever it may be. So I do think that's a critical element of what we would want to do with this. And then maybe, as John is suggesting, then from there we say, okay, well, here are a few areas. This kind of gets to Lyle's point too, that, these are a few, four examples that have come up where if we properly apply the term home rule, this is what we can come up with. I think, John, you're interested in, your suggestion today is also fold that into a local government in the future context, so that home rule, the question of what is home rule is not allowed to, can help facilitate the kinds of future relationships between state and local that we should be fostering. Is that a, so yeah, I try to,
I think I you, try to, you framed it absolutely, correctly. Because that term, home rule, local control has been just used in absolutely the wrong way. I admit I didn't listen to the debate on, House Bill 6107, the zoning reform bill, but I'm going to guess that phrase or some piece of it was used an awful lot during that 4.5-hour debate. We need to move beyond that because it's just, it's now become a phrase of division. And we need to understand it so we can move forward. Because there's too many issues to work on.
And I think to that point, Brendan, I agree entirely with your description of a suggested framework, which would be a relatively brief précis of where we are on home rule, Dillon, Dillon's rule, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, assume this stuff is established, but just restate it crisply in the front end. To your point about what does home rule really mean, and the idea that home rule means
right.
The state has no
and then apply it.
And we have zoning. I mean, people forget we have zoning preemptions all over the place, as you well know. The state has said that, it's in the state interest not to have localities ban group homes or, whatever it is. We have interfered with zoning on a number of occasions in every state. So it's not an absolute, but to the point you're making, have a summary at the beginning. What does home rule mean? We're a Dillon rule state. Here's the deal. Localities are creatures of state government. Love it or leave it, but that's the fact. And then to John's point, and I think my suggestion is not to try to boil the ocean on the new local government of the future, but try and pick, no more than three exemplars to wade in on. I think because I think it just could be overwhelming, frankly. But your framing, I think, suits my two cents worth. So.
Okay, so I don't know if anyone else wanted to weigh in on that, this conversation as far as scale. It sounds like, the way Lyle just described it, the précis, the explanation and the context of what home rule really means, and then its practical application to a handful of topics. Maybe it's, housing and zoning, maybe it's some other things that are along the LGF front that would help maybe redefine state and local relations as well as what the local government of the future should be looking like. Does anybody else have any comments or thoughts on that?
The only other thing I would add is just the notion of how home rule can work in cooperation with municipalities doing things together. Because I think in the case of education, I, you know, I've talked about this ad nauseum with all of you, that I think a lot of the interpretation of how we do education limits some of the things that towns could be doing together that would be better for kids and taxpayers. You know, and I'm actually going to kind of read through this 1964 text here, because a lot has changed in education since this came out, because I think there was a lot more multi-municipality education going on at that point. But I think that's something important to look at, especially with some of the population levels we're seeing in the smaller towns. And I think how the schools are really suffering and struggling to pay for how few students they have.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. It's Rick Porth.
Morning.
Morning. And Lyle, maybe this is what Lyle actually just said, but to me, it would be helpful to also provide a couple examples, very explicit examples of times when zoning, there were state preemptions on zoning elements of zoning that people may not even understand or realize as part of. I think it'd be helpful for municipal leaders to see that so that they can understand that this isn't something that was just cooked up.
Bob, did you have a point?
I apologize. I had another meeting that ran long, so I'm coming in kind of at the end of your, near the end of your discussion on the home rule. To Lawrence's point on education, I do think that the future should have some modifications for education whereby school districts can get together and not to have a situation where it is currently where you need an affirmative vote in every single town in order to get in or out of a regional school district. And so I think there needs to be some way to have other opportunities to collaborate on education that have some permanency, but a little bit of more options on how you go about doing that. And so how you determine what a local education association is and things like that. I think those are some of the things that we can do that will help out the smaller towns to better manage education and as well as education costs. The home rule thing, I had read a little bit, thanks Lyle for that link. I did look that up and it seems that there's not necessarily a 100% clear cut black and white line on home rule, even by that ruling and the application of, since in Connecticut, you have statutory municipalities and then you have charter municipalities, and the charter municipalities have a fair amount of latitude within parameters to be able to determine how their governance is taken care of, whereby the statutory municipalities are more restricted in the sense that, you know, the statute enables those things that that municipality can do. And therefore, they are limited in that way. But you do have the option always to create a charter and do things a little bit differently.
Right. Francis, you have your hand raised.
Yes, thank you. The question of home rule is very interesting, but I would be hesitant to oversimplify it because there may be people who do not understand Dylan's rule and how home rule works in Connecticut. But I suspect a lot of times when home rule is phrased as a point, it's because people, they may understand Dylan's rule or understand the state can preempt, but they don't believe that is the right policy choice. So it may be a policy, organizational, or political objection, not actually a misunderstanding of constitutional law, and I think it's important to keep that in mind.
Did other folks lose, Francis? Including me.
Oh, sorry, did I drop out, Francis?
Yeah, I It may have been on my end. My computer's a little unsteady this morning. Did other people lose a little bit of that? I'm looking for a reaction.
Yeah. So I think what
Francis... everybody hear
what Francis... Long story short, if you can hear me, basically people may be, you know, raising the concept of home rule because they do not believe the state should do something, or they disagree with what's being proposed. It may not be that they do not understand that the state can preempt.
Right. I think Francis is right in that respect, that, you know, home rule often with my colleagues, it talks about the ability to be able to do certain things, and it may very well be the ability to be able to do things within parameters. We'll take land use, for instance. Land use does have parameters, and I think people like myself and others do understand that, of chief elected officials, that there are things you can do within the statutes, but there are also options that you can choose. If you take, for instance, the debate that we're having currently, you know, whether you should have this type of housing or that type of housing, whether you should allow it or not allow it, rural character, you know, words and things like that, that just don't mean an awful lot. But there's certainly, there's a great deal of latitude within current statute, even under Dillon's rule and lack of home rule per se. You have options to where you zone things, you know, where you allow things, you know, do you allow multifamily, you know, multi-story buildings where there's, you know, subsurface sewage disposal, and not sewers and things like that. So there's an awful lot of latitude. I think to Francis's point, people do start to use the home rule thing as, you know, we think we ought to be able to do it this way. We can do it in land use. We can do it currently. And so we don't want you to change the statute, which were those enabling laws that allowed them to do whatever they were doing. That's where the, I think that's where the crux of the debate is on affordable housing.
Yep. Sorry, I got to run, everybody, but I look forward to further conversation with everybody. Thanks.
Thanks, Lyle.
Okay, thanks, Lyle. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, and I always tend to remind folks, as a land use lawyer myself, that that, for example, wetlands decisions. It's funny because I'm running into this in a local situation in my legal side, where, you know, I have to remind folks that the wetland statutes do not empower local wetlands commissions to be autonomous and do whatever they might want to do, even if it might be have an impact on a wetland that's on the other side of the town border, because every wetland commission by statute, as well as per home rule, is a function of the commissioner of DEEP, and they're working as agents of the state of Connecticut to protect our wetlands throughout the state. So you can't, you know, this question about what happens on one side of a town line versus another side of a town line is really irrelevant. If there's an impact on a wetland, both towns have a say in what's going on in terms of protecting the wetlands for the state of Connecticut. So anyway, it does come up in other ways that we oftentimes don't realize, but it sounds like we have some consensus about, yeah, John.
No, and why you when you bring up wetlands, it's interesting, the discussion of as of right uses in zoning. You know, under wetlands is as of right uses for agriculture and in there that I'm pretty familiar with, but there, you know, I used to have farmers all the time confused when I was at the department that, well, we've got a right to use it, so we'll just go and plow it. Well, you have to establish that right before the commission, before you can actually go and use that wetland. All these things do come with terms and conditions and all, you know, and the zoning is a creature of the legislature. I mean, they created all those clauses that are in there. They didn't just drop down from the sky. So, and they don't all work in concert all the time, but you can only do what's in there. Yeah, so that's why right. the case law is a mile and a half long on zoning.
Yeah, but it's not so prescriptive that it's you can only do A and you can only do B. It leads interpretation,
and you
that's
can
why attorneys keep busy.
And you can do as Bethlehem and Eastford have done and not do it at all.
And do land use, right.
Well, they've done nothing. They have no zoning.
Well, they don't have zoning, but they do have land use regulations, which is a different thing, which is a soil-based.
They have subdivision, but that's all.
No, I beg to differ, but they are soils-based.
Okay, well, it is.
We can debate that another time.
Without getting too far down that. So what I think we need to do is we also have to answer the big question, which is who's going to do this? I think we all can bring our own levels of expertise to the discussion, which obviously we should. Should we also consider having a third party also participate in an advisory capacity, or as may not be a member of the commission itself, but it may be, say, someone at UConn, a couple of attorneys who've been watching what we do who have a particular expertise on municipal and constitutional law. They can also maybe weigh in. Is there any opposition to the idea that maybe it's all of our collective expertise, but we can also rely on some help and some guidance from others outside the commission who may be able to offer some insights and expertise to the analysis? Does that make sense?
That sounds really good to me.
Yes.
Should we be reaching out to any other institutions, like, say, UConn, my alma mater, from the law school? Folks who've got some land use expertise there as well. Do we want to have other folks sort of vet what we're producing as we go along? Does anyone have an objection to that in theory if we have them kind of help us weigh in?
I think if somebody with those kind of credentials can lay out that, brief and clarity, that form rule, just sort of answer it, not in 80 pages, but in just a couple. As sort of the start for wherever we go with this, I think would be really helpful and give it a lot of credibility.
And back to right. What was it? The Institute for Public Service with UConn, and the documents that they put out previously. We talked about that last time. I think, and I certainly found that to be helpful when I became first selectman in Goshen, to have that as something, if nothing more, to review and then have reference to statutes so you can understand what your parameters are, what you can do and what you can't do, and a better understanding for everyone would be helpful. Updating something like that. I would also say that some confusion for local government comes from the Institute, whereby the Board of Finance document was updated much later than the Board of Selectmen or Selectmen, and there are conflicting things within those two documents, particularly when it goes to questions of historic use of various authorities. Those two documents conflict. If we could, for municipalities, statutory municipalities, clarify some of those things, and we can have that conversation about how best to formulate the government of the future.
I think you make a good point, because I'm familiar with what you're talking about, and there is that contradiction. And I'm not an attorney. I can look at the statute. I don't think there's a contradiction in the statute, but if we had those experts to help us out to update, those would be
very helpful.
Because if you do read those two, you're left with two conclusions.
Yep. And in the for selectmen, it's so general in the statute, where essentially it says the selectmen shall superintend the concerns of the town. That's pretty broad.
You're in charge, Bob.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. but I mean, that would be very, very helpful for all concerned.
Okay. So if I can just restate where I think we are. First, what the ACIR would be willing to do is to start working on first a summary, a synopsis of home rule, what it means, what it doesn't mean. Doesn't, as to borrow Lyle's phrase, you know, we're not trying to boil the ocean here. We're just trying to give the basics of what does the phrase mean, both constitutionally and statutorily, for state and local government and their relationship to each other. And then apply that understanding of what home rule means to a few key issues that are coming up that are relevant for our members and also are relevant for our perception of what the local government of the future can be, and set some parameters for what's possible under our current law. Is that a fair?
Yes.
And we'll rely on some outside folks to perhaps help guide us on this. And, you know, maybe it's a question of a couple of us getting together and starting some drafts and, you know, starting to put the stuff together, if that makes sense to folks, and then have it vetted by third parties who may have a little bit better, also have their own perspective, legal and otherwise, to ensure that we're on the right track.
Yep.
Yeah, because
is that a fair?
I think so. And
summary, we can keep reporting in each month.
I said earlier, I think there's possibilities to tweak that relationship between towns and the state to enhance solutions to at any number of fronts. So not that we want to take them all on. And I would urge people to read two of those papers speak to the actual expansion of local authority so that they have more options so they can address things in a more collaborative, proactive manner, which is a kind of an interesting approach that rather than sort of the other approach, which is the state kind of narrows what a town can do even more than it is now, which is so it's kind of an interesting argument. One that warrants, discussion.
That's where the experts would come in and be very helpful to shed light on that. I think the other thing is there is a fair amount of disconnect, particularly in municipalities, that town meeting decides everything. You know, you don't have a city council is deciding your budget or deciding ordinance or whatever it may be. In a town like Goshen, 20 people can petition for a town meeting and overrule the board of selectmen. So part of this understanding has to be more of a public education on what that town meeting has the ability to do and not the ability to do. For instance, on the housing issue, I have some people in my town that think that they have the right to decide whether or not our local housing trust can purchase a property and make it affordable housing. And they think that they should have a vote on that because we're a town meeting affordable government. They do not have that choice, but that becomes some of the confusion where pressures come from the electorate to the elected And so that part of the education, I think, is just as important overall.
The thing I'll add to it, there appears to be, if they're still there, I'm willing to check, researchers at the Federal Reserve Bank in Boston and at Harvard that are authors of some of those reports, that if we could maybe sometime during this process bring them in to talk to the ACIR in general might be helpful, since they appear to have spent a good amount of time studying this this subject.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And, you know, we can be working on this, I think, through the summer. Collaborate with folks over the next 2, 3, 4 months to kind of start building this. And then, you know, in theory, what we would want to do if we, you know, if there are any particular things that come up that seem like they may require some legislative, a legislative look, you know, maybe a change or a clarification, we can also have that in place in time for adoption in 2022, you know, well in advance of the 22 legislative session, if that even comes up. So, okay, that's great. That's great. Are there any other, so the way we'll leave this is I'll start this off, and maybe you know, I can be working with John and Lyle, Bob, if you're interested, anyone else, let us know, and we'll start putting some pieces together with some draft language that might help formulate this thing. We'll build it over time over the course of the next few months, if that makes sense.
Sounds good.
Any other thoughts on that?
Seems like a good plan.
Okay, good. Rick, I see you're unmuting. Did you want to offer a thought on that?
Brendan, only that what you just described seems like a good way forward. I'm not to be repetitive, but I think it would be really helpful to people to cite examples, especially in the area of zoning, where there are preemptions issued by the state, which would help people on all sides of the issue at least get a context for this discussion about home rule. Thanks.
Right. Sure. And you've just volunteered yourself too, Rick, just in case you didn't realize that.
Thanks, Brendan.
So thanks for doing that, Rick. careful. Anybody else who unmutes in this meeting, you know, we're going to be you volunteering. Okay, good. Well, that's helpful. I also just want to mention, I don't think I'm going to be at the full ACIR meeting a week from Friday because I'm planning to be on vacation, but I kind of have to see how my week turns out. So in any case, we can report in to the full committee meeting next, a week from Friday, as to where we're taking this and where it's going to go. And if the larger group has any other thoughts on it, they can weigh in at that time. All right. Any other thoughts that we want to add before we adjourn? Okay. Okay. Thanks all. Thanks for taking the time on this. I think we got the foundation for something good to come over the next few months. So thanks for taking the time with it.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Brendan. Thanks, everybody.
And we may see you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.